Good morning. It's June 22nd, 2025, in the year of our Lord, and the title for my message is a familiar title. The Truth, the Whole Truth, and Nothing But the Truth. And I have two scripture readings, Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs His love, at night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. And my second reading comes from 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. My title is a very familiar title as it relates to American jurisprudence. Often that phrase that I just read is at the process where you have the swearing in of witnesses in a court of law. And often it goes something like this: place your hand on the Bible. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? I'd like to share with you a very humorous story. Two men had an argument, and to settle the matter, they went to a judge for arbitration. The plaintiff made his case. He was very eloquent and persuasive in his reasoning. And when he finished, the judge nodded in approval and said, "That's right, that's right." On hearing this, the defendant jumped up and said, "Wait a second, judge, you haven't even heard my side of the case yet." So the judge told the defendant to state his case, and he too was very persuasive and eloquent. And when he finished, the judge said, "That's right, that's right." When the court clerk heard this, he jumped up and said, "Judge, they cannot both be right." The judge looked at the clerk from the court and said with a smile, "That's right, that's right." That little story illustrates the thinking of many people in our modern society. Everyone is right, and few, if any, are ever wrong. Speaking from a larger perspective, we live in a universe where in reality, I'm going to say this as a Christian, there are two worlds. A world that is seen, and we live in a world that is unseen to the human eye. a world that is visible, and there is a world that is invisible. A world that is physical and tangible, and then there is the spiritual world, which is intangible. A world that is naturally experienced through our five senses, and then there is the spiritual or supernatural world. This world that you and I live on, what we call the earth, is a physical world that we can see and hear and touch and smell. And in all honesty, we also acknowledge the fact that it's in a real mess. In some respects, our world is engulfed in flames. Flames of violent war and societal revolution. In other respects, societies are steeped in decadence and profound disillusionment with what is taking place, especially after the COVID-19 insanity that was foisted upon the world. The real battle is being waged as a spiritual battle. And this spiritual battle is not necessarily between conservatism and liberalism as classically defined and understood. It's not a battle between races, white and black and Asian and Indian and anything else in between. Nor is it a battle between classes of people, working class versus white collar. And it is certainly not a battle between feminism and masculinity. All of these skirmishes and debates are in reality brush fires. They pop up now and then in different segments of society and countries, and they are usually being fomented by spiritual powers in academia, social media today, and the courts, along with what I would call the state-run media of various countries. And sadly, many churches have joined in the fray, and they have espoused and parroted and mimicked what the larger world is saying on a whole host of issues. But from a Christian's perspective, the ultimate battle is the war between truth and error, light versus darkness, Almighty God and Satan, the Spirit of Christ versus the Spirit of Antichrist. These attacks and these spiritual battles are not new, but I honestly believe that they have intensified and grown more desperate like never before as an attack on all sacred truths that humanity has embraced and lived out since its inception. It is unbelievable that in this day and age that we are debating what is a man and what is a woman. XX versus XY. That just shows you how far Western culture has fallen. And then sadly, many churches have also adopted this insanity and these demonic doctrines as well. So the battle before us is a battle for the truth of God as found in the Bible, and I would expand upon that and say in the history of Judaism and Christianity. Folks, let me say something real simple. Every idea and every social movement cannot all be true. That is impossible, and it is illogical to think so. How many times have you heard someone comment or say or write, well, you have your truth and I have mine? That's a bunch of hogwash. I'll illustrate this with a point from the Old Testament, and for your reference, it comes from 2 Kings chapter 6, and it's between verses 8 through 17. We read in those passages of the Old Testament, there's a story where Israel and Syria are in conflict. The Syrian king is planning and deliberating on attacking Israel, and the prophet Elisha warns Israel's king to avoid going to such a location, and his warning comes from God. The Syrian king learns from his officers that his plan is awry, and he becomes enraged, and he believes that he has traitors in his royal palace. But his officers tell him, no, there is no traitor in the palace. You see, king, your foil is the prophet Elisha in Israel. So the Syrian king does what is probably normal. He sends a bunch of soldiers to go and capture Elisha and bring him to Syria. Long story short, Elisha spends the night in the city of Dothan in Israel. And the Syrian king finds out and sends his troops to Dothan with horses and chariots to surround Dothan and to capture Elisha and to bring him back to Syria. We read in the text that the next day, early in the morning, that the servants of Elisha see that they are surrounded with Syrian horses and chariots and soldiers, and they panic. And they ask each other, and eventually they ask Elisha, what are they going to do? And Elisha replies calmly, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And then the scripture goes on to say that Elisha prayed that the Lord would open the eyes of his servants to see. The Lord opened the eyes of his servants, and he looked, and they saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And that is verse 17. The church and the people to whom the Apostle John is writing to are in danger of being confused or even blown off course by all the different ideas, all the claims, and all the would-be false prophets and social influencers swirling around them. So many faithful Christians are at times dismayed and discouraged with the turn of events in our country and really in Western society. And in that situation, many people are not only confused, but they are mystified because they don't know what is true and they don't know what is false. They've lost the ability to differentiate between truth and error. Because what our society says, what the state-run media says, is night and day from God's truth. The difficulty and the problem we have with mixed and false messages from false teachers is that you can't really tell them apart from the true ones at first sight. In many instances down through the history of the church, false prophets and false teachers seem devout and reasonable. They claim to have a word from God. And so people would say, well, who am I to disagree with them? But John the Apostle writes, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Let me give you some recent examples. When I say recent, I'm talking about a couple of decades from our country, from the United States of America. Our country had a very terrifying experience in the 1970s. Jim Warren Jones, or Jim Jones, that should jar your thinking, was an American cult leader who promised his followers a utopia in the jungles of South America after he proclaimed himself to be the Messiah of the People's Temple. At that time, it was a San Francisco-based evangelical-type group. Jim Jones ultimately led his followers into a mass suicide. And at the end of the day, in Guyana in South America, there were 913 people who took their lives. It's known historically in our culture and society as the Jonestown Massacre. And for your reference, that happened on November the 18th, 1978. You see, as a young child, Jim Warren Jones became a regular churchgoer. And after graduating from Butler University, he decided to enter the ministry. And in the 1950s, for a brief time, he was a Methodist student pastor. And in the 1960s, in Indianapolis, Indiana, he gained a reputation as a charismatic churchman. Now, he went beyond that. He claimed to have these psychic powers and the ability to foretell the future. Not only that, but he had the gift of miraculously healing people who were sick. In that day and age, he was a vocal proponent of racial integration, a position that ran afoul in some church situations and cultures, and that was also true in the United States as a whole. In 1955, going back a little further, he established what is called the Wings of Deliverance Ministry. It ended up being a Pentecostal church that eventually became known as the People's Temple. Now, he worked for the poor. He helped those who were homeless. But in light of what was going on in the world in the Cold War, he feared that the United States would be engaged in a nuclear war with the Soviet Union. And what he did was he relocated his church from Indianapolis, Indiana, to Northern California in 1965. Following this move, Jim Warren Jones adopted the name, quote, the Prophet. And he became obsessed with the exercise of power. Before long, he began to face various allegations, most notably that he was illegally diverting the income of cult members for his own use. Amid the mounting accusations, Jones and his hundreds of his followers immigrated to Guyana and set up an agricultural commune called Jonestown in 1977. As a ruler of this new sect, Jones confiscated passports and in the end millions of dollars and manipulated his followers with threats of blackmail, beatings, and probable death. Jim Jones was a false prophet and a false teacher. And if you ever heard the phrase, don't drink the Kool-Aid, this is where it comes from. Because all these people died from drinking Kool-Aid that were laced with different cyanide poisonings. The point of all of this is for the Christian church and for the Christian who is listening to this message. Not everyone who claims to be a prophet or a teacher of God is from God. And that comes from right out of the Bible, 1 John. We need to listen carefully and to sift through and weigh what we hear. Many of these false prophets and false teachers deny that the Messiah has come in the flesh, and instead they offer an alternative that they are the promised Messiah. They are immune to laws and moral obligations, and they do what they want to do, justifying their illicit actions. My goodness, a most recent example of that is David Koresh in the 1990s at Waco, Texas, and the tragedy that happened there. You see, error and falsehood are all found in various facets of life. Politicians who are corrupted and bribed for personal gain, science that is hijacked and not evidence-based, but instead focusing on industry profit and influence. Church leaders who espouse and teach ideas and doctrines that are heretical and contrary to human nature and God's salvation through Jesus Christ. Courts and judges who have twisted the history and the meaning, in our case, of the U.S. Constitution, taking it out of context, and historical precedent to unleash chaos on society. The spirit of truth versus the spirit of falsehood. Thanks be to God that we do not have to rely on our own strength and knowledge. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Verse 4. Church, we must remember and not forget this truth, that God lives in us and that the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of truth, will lead, warn, and guide us from harm and deception. And because of that reality, we are to test the spirits for their truth and for their falsity. In order to do that, we need to do the following. We need to hold every teaching, every claim, every ideology, whatever it is, hold it up to the light of sacred scripture, the Old and New Testaments. Truth does not contradict itself. I had a psychology professor in college that used to say this, and I agree with him, all truth is God's truth. Not only do we need to hold up these claims to the light of Scripture, we need to hold it up in our context to church doctrine and history, and to see if examples exist as a guide and a warning to avoid a certain path or a certain teaching. We also need to highlight to the scrutiny of other believers what is being proclaimed. And if other believers are incredulous to what they have heard, well, then there's a reason for that. And certainly, last but not least, what we hear and what we hear being proclaimed or written or spoken, how does it line up with our own conscience? If you come away feeling that it is wrong, don't rationalize it and excuse it and justify it. There probably is a good reason why your conscience is telling you that that proclamation, that claim is in error and is wrong. Nobody in their right mind wants to be lied to and to be misled. Test the spirits to see whether they are from God or not. Amen.